right now on VFN TV, Prophet Bobby Connor with Eagles View Ministries talks about what the future holds for America and the church. We're also going to be talking about how the Islamic State has a new mobile app for their children to be able to teach them Arabic using jihadist terminology. And we're going to wrap up Jihad in America as John Guadola was talking to us in the last four-part series, bringing it home and sharing a prophetic word from Pat Hamilton today, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
It's going to be a physical battle. It's a physical battle. It's going to be on the ground.
God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
Chuck Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America's going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? As soon as that was said, that America's going to go back to the 1960s. The 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, assassination of John F. Kennedy, you had the riots, we had Vietnam War, we had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do.
Holy Spirit said this year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. A phrase will be repeated. I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time.
If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he has always worked through a remnant.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up columns. I'm causing alignment to occur. And I will be sending forth column after column after column until the enemy is pushed out of your sphere.
God said, I've released my spirit, and the spirit is going to rush to you.
But we're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so, you know, where are you connected at? Where are you right related?
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
This is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kolosewski, and also joining us on today's program is Pat Hamilton. We're very excited about him being a special guest on today's program. But first, we're going to go right to Eagle Views Ministry as Paul Keith Davis is interviewing Prophet Bobby Connor as he's talking about what's about to happen. Because the question is, what's about to happen in America? What does the church have to look forward to? Let's go to Bobby Connor now.
I want you to just kind of take a minute here and based upon your revelations, based upon your visions, kind of forecast what the future is going to look like a little bit for this remnant and how you become a part of that.
Yeah. Okay. I think Jeremiah 31:17 says your future is filled with bright hope. Jeremiah 31:17, your future is filled with bright hope. I think between where we are and where we're going to end up is going to be one of the most turbulent times in human history. It says, don't you believe that? It says, deep, dense darkness will be on the earth, but the Lord's glory and light radiance will be on you. And so in the darkest of times, it's when we're going to shine the brightest. So I think it's going to be very turbulent. I think it's going to get really, really more militant than we ever dreamed it was going to be. But having done all to stand, stand. Now, this little mamby-pamby thing we call in Christianity right now won't cut it. It's more of like a divine entitlement. Well, you know, no. God is awakening the warriors. If you don't have a warring spirit, you won't be able to stand during these days. And the number one thing we're going to have to do is learn how to contend. You ought to read the book of Jude. It shouldn't take long, just one page. But we're in the book of Jude. Certain men have crept in unawares, teaching us, it doesn't matter how you live, live any way you want to. It does matter how you live. So I looked up the word contend. It means fight to the last drop of blood. Fight. We're going to have to fight for the faith. He said, when I return, will I find faith? We're going to have to contend for the faith once and once for all delivered to the saints.
I mean, you think about it. We've been talking about these times are coming, and this is a man who hears clearly from the Lord. And he's talking about turbulent times are coming. But you think about it. If you read the book of Acts, I mean, you're looking at Stephen was a man who did wonderful things. He fed folks. He took care of folks. He allowed the Lord to heal people through him, and just great signs and wonders were taking place through his ministry. But the consequence of that was he was persecuted and he was stoned. So it's like he saw the face of God, but it was in the midst of why he was being stoned. You look at Paul, and Paul was this apostle Paul that's going out and he's called by God. The first thing he was doing was coming to persecute the church. He was on the road to Damascus. I mean, you think about this. He's on the road to Damascus. He's going there with a letter from the high religious leader, and he's going to persecute the church. But on the way there, this persecutor met God. And that's when he said, Lord, Lord. He thought he was serving God, but he met God on the road to Damascus. And he realized the God that he was serving, his perception of God that he was serving was not the right God. And then he made Jesus Christ the Lord of his life. And he was blinded. And he was in a particular place staying there. God spoke to another man named Ananias. And Ananias went to him. And this persecutor of the church, he prayed for him because God said, pray for him. And all this blinding left him, this stuff that was over his eyes. And he could see again. And he gave his life to serving the Lord. You know, difficult times are coming, but this is the great time for the church to rise up and do what we're called to do. And Paul is responsible for almost half of the writings of the New Testament, as the Holy Spirit gave him the unction or the ability to be able to write that. Isn't that powerful? It's just so powerful. So people that seem to be an adversary today to the church could be a Paul tomorrow. That's very exciting. So these difficult times that are coming, it's time for the church to rise up. And part of those difficult times, if you think about it, is when you're looking at this holy jihad and this radical Islam and the loyalists to Islamization with the merger of politics and religion and all the things that's going on. But look what's taking place right now. The teachers, they're teaching children with a jihadist theme. The Islamic State Library of Zeal has released an application, an app on Android phones to be able to teach their children Arabic alphabet. And the vocabulary that's taught, they use jihadist themes to be able to do this. So children are finding out how to actually pronounce particular their language that they use to be able to use these particular things. And you're seeing some themes right now. As a matter of fact, you're thinking of, they got the word, they got tanks in this children's app. They have guns, to the word for guns, the word for rockets. And you're looking at what's taking place. As we saw with John Guandola, as he was the last couple of days on VFN TV talking to us specifically about, you know, jihad in America. He was saying the seventh graders all around the world in Islamic schools are taught these very things. It's just the way of that particular, that's a persecuting religion to Christianity. They call it converting to either put into servitude a non-believer, to end the life of a non-believer, or to behead the unbeliever. I mean, that's persecution. But that's what took place. Did you know that Paul, the Apostle Paul, his life ended with his head on a chopping block? Did you know that? That he was beheaded? That Peter was crucified? just like Jesus was crucified, except he said, I don't want to look like, you know, that have any resemblance of Jesus Christ. Crucify me upside down. That's the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul. I'm not saying that's our future. I'm just saying, listen, that's the reality of the gospel that we preach. We can actually win the hearts over if we go out and begin to evangelize and share the love of God. Just like Bobby Connor says, militant times are coming, but it's time for the church to be able to rise up. When we get back from this break, we're going to hear firsthand and see, as God spoke to Pat Hamilton about in a night vision, about specifically, you have nothing to fear at all because God is going to part the adversary for you to be able to advance. Make sure you join us after the break.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means strategeo, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish His purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church, that you be a part of the Apostolic Church Arising.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the David Radio program. Every single day we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partner for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I am so honored to have a special guest on, Pat Hamilton.
Hey,
how are you doing? I think my ears are going to come on in a minute.
Yeah,
I can't
eventually
really hear myself talking. But, we're seeing a big rise in Islam and different things taking place, and God has shown me some very specific things, a definite presence of Sharia
compliant Muslims. Mm-hmm. I mean, all Muslims aren't Sharia compliant, but Sharia compliant Muslims in America, which means fully dressed in the garb and that type of thing. And it was pretty significant. Mm-hmm. But I know when we're seeing the things that took place with John Gwandola, and that's pretty interesting when you think about what God has shown you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's talking about jihad in America. He's saying that our government has been infiltrated. He's saying the Homeland Security is getting their advice from the Muslim Brotherhood. Congressman Michelle Bachmann saying that the Brotherhood is actually in the advisory capacity. I'm seeing specifically the leadership of our current America cut a covenant with Muslims, you know, Islam, and we're seeing that prevalent even down to the Democratic National Convention. Remember that when we saw they were having God taking God out of their platform, and thank God for the pastor in Ohio. I think his name was, he's a representative or out of Ohio, but he stood up. He said, "Listen, we want God put Jerusalem first of all back into the platform where Jerusalem is the capital of Israel," and they booed. He pushed it through, but it really they didn't want it.
Right.
So here we are right now. So imagine, you know, if you're in Mosul, like the nun, remember the nun that was testifying before Congress, and she said, we were watching ISIS on our, and ISIS is basically a Sharia compliant, fully belief in the Quran, operating in some similar principles, according to John Gwandola, as a Muslim, the way Muhammad would operate. And that's what John Gwandola said, former FBI agent and a specialist in this. And which means a great presence of many factions are coming and rising in America. But one is, imagine if there was just, she said, we were watching him on TV. We were watching Muzzle on TV. And then they were at our door. They were at our door.
Right.
And they came and took our stuff away. They took us out of the Mosul, by the way, is Nineveh. And she's testifying before Congress. She said, you treat your dogs better in America than you're treating the Christians. And now it looks like that very thing may happen in America in some areas at some point. As a matter of fact, what did the Lord show you specifically in regards to this kind of presence?
Yeah, exactly. In this night vision, I was in this home, and I was with a couple or a gathering, and I believe we were having like a church service. And then we hear something at the door. So I go to the door, open the door, and all of a sudden there's this huge, angry mob. And I knew they were Muslims.
Right.
They all had weapons in their hands, and I knew they were just about to do us in. And
something that you're seeing pretty much right now in Iraq, or you're seeing in these different places. Yes.
Right. So, but I didn't hesitate. We just walked right into the crowd. You know, with no weapons, and had no intentions of doing anybody any harm. We just walked right through the crowd, and all of a sudden, I just knew there was just a host of angels all the way around us.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, the crowd just split, almost like a like the sea, you know, just opened up. And then all of a sudden, the crowd just disappeared. They were gone.
I think about the call. If you haven't yet read the call, it's a vision that was given, again, we talked about in the previous program, by Rick Joyner, given to the Lord to Rick Joyner. But one was, everybody stayed in this prison. The church was staying in this prison because they were fearful. They were terrified to go outside this prison. And they had guards on the walls. The guards were teachers teaching false doctrine, and everybody was in this dark area or whatever. But then he realized when he started going through this hole in the wall, he had to face all of his greatest fears. Everything you could imagine, you know, he's facing that. And he, when he went through that place, and that's the place we all have to go through to be able to minister to people who come from the place that we come from. When he got through it on the other side, he goes, I can't believe all these years I made such a big deal about it. I mean, everything. And the thing about it is God's waiting to see if we trust him. Do we love him? Do we trust him enough with our lives? And everything in your mind would say, if I walk in this crowd right now that's, you know, radical jihadists that are saying, you know, that we're following Muhammad, and Muhammad says either convert or die or go into servitude, and you're watching people be crucified and beheaded, and these different things are going on, Sharia compliant. That's a difficult crowd to face.
Exactly.
But look what happened. God says he puts angels ministering. Every believer has ministering angel to serve the Lord in your life. So you think about that.
So you think about that.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have faith. And the Lord says in Psalms 23 that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. You got one angel called goodness mm-hmm. and one called mercy. He says he'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemy. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's like. It's like
mm-hmm.
I'm walking out of a place where the church is gathering, like a house. All these folks are that are against, you know, Christians and against you. You know, are out there, but all of a sudden the Lord just prepares a table for you right there in the presence of them. These mm-hmm. angels just kind of press them. I'm telling you what, you know, we got to understand our Lord. Our Lord loves you. He's got a plan for your life, but he also cares about that individual that's just protesting outside your door. They really believe somebody who is serving a God who basically is no God at all, but they're saying that the closest I can get, according to John Guandola, is if I got enough good deeds, if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, and this is what John Guandola is saying about Islam,
mm-hmm.
then I make it into the paradise. That's what they believe. But if they die in the name of jihad, fighting holy war, in other words, trying to take your life or someone else's life, that's an instant ticket to paradise, their heaven, and they get to take 70 of their members of their family, according to John Guandola. I mean, he really believes that. The thing about it is, what are we doing to help him believe that you don't have to lay down your life for God? God's laid down his life for you.
That's right.
I mean, if he's willing to do all that for a God who may, doesn't exist, but may give him paradise, may forgive his, may. I mean, think about that. When we have a God who gave his son to die for the sins of the world, that he told us that we cannot do this outside of him. He says, you have to bear fruit, but you can't bear fruit outside of abiding in me. But he wants a relationship with you. God, this is a big paradigm shift for somebody who's committed to Islam and committed to Sharia. And there is all these laws, and they have like the Sharia police. There's going like, your dress is too high, your veil is too low, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. Your pants, your ankles need to be showing. Your beard needs to be red. You can't wear gold. You can't wear silver. What all the time? Jesus said very specifically, and Paul is talking about it too. He says, who has bewitched you that what was began in grace that now you're trying to achieve it by the works of the law?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just Islam. Anytime we go and try to earn our salvation with God, we're trying to get right by our own works. All of our righteousness is a filthy rags, which means this, that have you even told this man or woman that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life? Did you ever pray that God would actually send, give them a vision or a dream, an encounter? And this is happening in North Africa right now, in Morocco and other areas. Mm-hmm. You know, people who are committed Muslims or not committed Muslim, but, you know, openly saying they were Muslims, they're having dreams and God is showing himself. And as soon as they see him and how they just want an authentic relationship with God, and somebody's convinced them that Muhammad was the way to God. But this is not the way to God. The way to God is through mm-hmm. his son, Jesus Christ. I think about Kamal Saleem, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a radical jihadist. He was coming to America to basically take his inheritance, right?
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, he was going to commit jihad on America. And if you know, America, he saw America as his inheritance. And right now you're seeing people who believe, you know, they're Sharia compliant and they believe the writings of Muhammad, and they believe that America and all nations that does not submit to their religion is their inheritance. And that he came to do that. But you know what? He got in a car accident. He got in a car accident. And people weren't scared of him. They loved him. When he was in the hospital, the doctors and the nurses just loved on him.
That's right.
And took care of him. And when we get back from this break, I want you to see firsthand what happened to this former radical jihadist named Kamal Saleem. The answer to everyone is Jesus Christ. People just don't believe that God loves them and will forgive them and has a plan for their life. But you're going to see firsthand the testimony of a former radical jihadist who came to America to get his inheritance, that he ran into the love of God. He ran into Christians who understood how to love on him and how to minister to him. And he himself Oh, I can't tell you all the details about it. Listen, we get back from this break, you're going to see firsthand Kamal Saleem's testimony. It'll bless you and it'll give you a different perspective. The way to change this thing is to begin to be disciples and go out and be missionaries, begin to tell people about the love of God. But first, this offer.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. Jill Savage was tempted to tell her friends that her marriage was fine, despite some serious struggles. She found out, though, that being honest about those problems actually encouraged her friends.
I went home that day, and my phone started ringing off the hook of moms that were sitting in that room and saying, "Thank you for being so honest. We're a mess. We're struggling in our marriage. It's a very difficult season for us." And the very thing that I feared would happen, which was that I would lose integrity, actually the opposite happened. I gained integrity with those women because of the willingness to be honest.
We're all longing for authenticity, and God can work powerfully through our weaknesses. You'll find the strength you need to be honest and to have a thriving relationship at FocusOnTheFamily.com/marriage.
Takes the blood of his own death into the presence of God, and he enables us to say, "Yes, I need help. Yes, I don't deserve it, but no, I will not be paralyzed, because there is a mediator, and Jesus came to give the undeserving help." What do you call that? Grace is God meeting the need of undeserving people. Grace comes in and says, "Yes, you've analyzed that rightly, you need help. But no, you don't need to be a Superman. No, you don't need to drown it. And no, you don't need to be paralyzed. The fourth option is, I paid for that sin. And while you don't deserve any help, God will give you help if you come through a high priest."
Welcome, welcome back. It was so good to have, you know, Pat with us. Good to have you back, Steve. Welcome and back. We're talking about, you know, a radical jihadist who was coming to America to get his inheritance. Mm-hmm. And that was his mindset. That's what he was taught. And you got to read his book. What is the book that he wrote with General Boykin, the book they wrote together? You find that out.
Coalition.
Coalition. It's very powerful because it tells General Boykin's testimony in his life. It shares Kamal Saleem's testimony as a
radical jihadist.
Well, actually, he's a young boy, mm-hmm. and how he gets into jihad, and watch how the general converges with the jihadist, and mm-hmm. how, you know, things change like that. But understand, he was coming. This is just like somebody you may see that this is what they believe. They believe that they're going to come to a nation, to America, whoever, and they're going to take it as their inheritance. They're going to tell you about Islam. If you don't convert, they're going to try to convert you. If you don't convert, they're going to put you into servitude. If you don't servitude, then they're going to end your life.
Mm-hmm.
In so many words. But take a look. This is what the love of God can do. This is Kamal Saleem, a radical jihadist, who in that night vision that Pat was telling you about, there was outside that door, the angels about him just parted them aside. But understand, you can win them to the Lord by sharing them by your own actions. Love of God. Take a look.
48% of the Muslim in the United States of America believe that they are Muslim first, they are American second. Our purpose is to change this culture because they're infidel and what they're doing is not pleasing to Allah, and we are the soldier of Allah who will make them do it.
Kamal Saleem was born in Lebanon to a devout Muslim family. As early as 4 years old, he remembers sitting at the kitchen table while his mother taught him about the Quran and his duty to Allah and jihad.
From my childhood, my mom said, "One day you'll be a martyr, my son. You will die for the sake of Allah and you will exalt Islam." She said, "If you kill a Jew, my son, your hand will light up before the throne of Allah and the host of heaven will celebrate what you have done."
Kamal was 7 when his parents sent him to Muslim training camps to learn to use weapons and engage and kill the enemy. The boys were also taught another, more subtle form of warfare.
We were training for what's called culture jihad, which is shifting cultures. Culture jihad is, it's unlike the sword, unlike the rifle, it is the jihad that will come into your world.
By his 20s, Kamal was chosen to wage cultural jihad on America.
In Islam, liberty, freedom, monarchy, all these are idols and these must be brought down. So the liberty that you have in the United States of America, it's anti-Islam. You know, so America must be changed. So I moved to the Bible Belt specifically. The Bible Belt was the strongest of strongest. That's where the stout Christians are. And I want to take on the best of the best because I considered myself as a sword of Islam. I thought I'm anointed, I'm unique, I'm selected. I'm coming to a country and a culture to change it, and I have the power of Allah with me.
In the early 1980s, Kamal entrenched himself in a small Midwestern town. He began targeting men from poorer neighborhoods to recruit them to the Muslim faith. But one afternoon, his life would be in the hands of those he hated the most.
I was going from one place to another to do a recruitment, and that day I had a car wreck. The car wreck was so severe, I ejected out of my car, landed on my neck, broke my neck in two places. This man came running to me, and he said, "Don't worry, we're gonna take care of you, and everything's gonna be all right." The ambulance came and picked me up. And now I go to the hospital, the orthopedic surgeon in the emergency room looked at my chart and he just said, "Son, we are going to take care of you and everything's gonna be all right." The second day I wake up in the hospital and this head of physical therapy come and read my chart. And he turned around and he said the same thing, word for word, "We are going to take care of you."
At first, Kamal was frightened by their words because these men were all Christians.
You see, in terrorism, if they said, "We're going to take care of you," you'd better run.
Surgeries to repair Kamal's broken neck were successful, but recovery would take weeks. After being discharged from the hospital, he would need someone to care for him while he recuperated. Kamal had no one. So the orthopedic surgeon opened up his own home to this stranger.
In his home, they put me in the choicest room, in the most beautiful thing. I became like part of their family. They didn't see me any different. And now they have a basket set for Kamal. They put in money to free my bills from the hospital.
Kamal was overwhelmed with the outpouring of Christian love. As he recovered, he began to help out around the house with cooking and cleaning.
They have Jewish friends, they came from Israel, that they support, you know. And now I'm hugging Israelis and I'm cooking for Jews. I'm going, what has happened to me?
When Kamal was able to take care of himself and return to his apartment, the doctor had another surprise for him.
He said, "This is the keys to the house, and here's an extra key. This is your new car. We just want to bless you. You can come anytime you want." So I go to my home, and I go to my cold place that I haven't been there in months, and dust is this thick. And I just gotta settle this issue with my God to know that if it's real or not. So I walk inside, I shut the door, I go right in the eastern window and I fall on my knees and I put my hands to the heavens and I cry up to my God. "Allah, Allah, my Lord and my King, why have you done such a thing to me? I'm okay with the car wreck. I'm okay with all this, but why did you put me among Christians? I'm confused. These Christians and Jews, they're good people. There's nothing wrong with them. They don't want to kill us. They're not the same thing that I learned about them.
Allah, these people have relationship with their God. These people, they cry out to the God and they answer them. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you love me. If you're real, speak to me. I want to hear your voice. Guess what Allah said that day? Absolutely nothing.
Kamal felt that because he questioned his faith, the honorable thing to do was to end his own life.
So I went to reach out my guns and put it in the right place and clock out. I heard the voice. The voice knew me by name. He said, Kamal, 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 why don't you call on God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? And now I fell on my knees and I put my hands to the heavens immediately as I heard the voice. And I cried out with every fiber within me, God the Father Abraham, if you are real, would you speak to me? God the Father Abraham, if you are real, I want to know you. Well, God the Father Abraham came to the room and he filled the room with his glory. And his name was Yahweh. The Lord is one. In his hand, he has holes in his hand. He has holes in his feet. His name is Jesus. I said to him, who are you, my Lord? Who are you? He said, I am that I am. I said, I'm a simple man with a simple mind. What is that supposed to mean? He said, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am everything that is in between. I have known you before I formed the foundation of the earth. I have loved you before I formed you in your mother womb. Rise up. Rise up, come on. Kum. You are my warrior. You are not their warrior. And I said to him, I said, my Lord, I will live and die for you. He said, do not die for me. I died for you that you may live.
That day, instead of taking his life, Kamal gave it to Jesus. He now has a new mission and travels the country challenging Muslims to question their allegiance to Allah.
My heart desire is to reach out for my brothers and sisters, the Muslim out there, 1.5 billion Muslim, that they are living out there and they have not tasted freedom and that freedom in God.
It's been over 20 years since Kamal left the Islamic faith, and even threats of violence and death cannot stop him from sharing his story.
He is real, you know, and if you never experienced God before in your life, if you never tasted God, and if you think you got nothing to lose, when you're sitting in your home, whether you're a Muslim or a non-Muslim or a non-Christian or whatever you are, say, call on God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and say, if you are real, speak to me. I want to hear your voice.
This is so powerful because he was coming as a warrior for Islam.
Yeah.
Totally convinced. If you read Coalition, the book, it's a powerful book. I encourage you to get it. We'll make it related in this particular program. Go to VFNTV.com to find out more about it. But in the book, Jesus walked as we walked, was tempted as we're tempted, yet without sin, so he can empathize with who we are, our frailties. And we don't have a high priest who is unable to empathize or sympathize with our weaknesses. He was tempted in every way, yet without sin. So we can approach the throne of grace with boldness, the throne of undeserved favor with boldness. And God told this warrior of jihad, I've known you since you were a child. Let me tell you about his childhood briefly. He was raised up in a very oppressive home in the Middle East. He was neglected. His mother was told she had a brain that was only half the size of his father's, of men's. His father was convinced him that he was going to go to paradise and he was going to have 70 virgins. He told his father one time when he was a young boy, he says, if you get 70 virgins, what does mama get if she dies? And I believe he struck him. And he was being, and gangs were kind of threatening his life and these different things. And all of a sudden, there was this jihadist Sharia group in his community that took him in and said, we'll take care of you. His family rejected him. Society rejected him. And all of a sudden, Islam accepted him, and they raised him up, and they were there for him. The same way that we saw in an earlier program with the gangs that are going on, they're saying, listen, they were there for me. And they begin to train him up in this belief system that says, you know, jihad is the way. And he becomes a warrior. He becomes a jihadist for Islam, to advance Islam. This is the story told a thousand times. This is a thousand times. I mean, what opportunities do you have as a child? I mean, you don't pick your parents. You get raised up in the household that your parents choose to be in, and the community and the relationships that they choose to be in. And at some point, you got to make up your own mind who's God.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know until people have been presented the opportunity. He came to America to commit jihad, which if you're a Muslim, that's not a negative thing in their mind. They think this is just part of advancing the faith. This is what you're supposed to do. It's part of what you would call worship. You know, jihad for a committed Muslim would be worship. So when you think about that, he was coming with the wrong perception of God. But when he came and he went to the poorest neighborhoods, this is so important. How many churches are built in the suburbs, and how many people say, I don't want that person in my community. I don't want that person in my home. I don't want these guys coming over the borders. And it's all about staying away from folks. When the enemy goes right to the poorest folks. And when Kamal came, he went to the poorest people in the community and he began to make converts there. Of all the things, when Paul went to Jerusalem to talk to the apostles there, to run his doctrine by them, to make sure that he wasn't teaching in vain, because God revealed these things to him personally, he found out that he heard clearly and it was right. But they did say this. They said, don't forget the poor. Remember the poor. It's not just so the poor can have some food because they don't have food. That's just a given. It's the very fact, minister to the poor. There's a reason why that is the way it is. Go to them and let them know about the love of God, the love of Christ. If they'll come out of that to be able to be involved, if the enemy goes there to convert, you know, people in poverty to gangs, if they can convince somebody for that kind of life that they'll lay down their life and go serve time in prison because these brothers, these sisters care about me. I mean, you think about that. If the Nation of Islam with Farrakhan goes into the prison system, goes right into the prison system and makes converts in the prison system of people who seem to be at their dead end road, and they say, you're there for me. There's nothing more. I'm telling you, when you have nobody there for you your entire life, and somebody shows up and says, listen, I'm here for you. That's going to be a hard one to overcome when there's an unloving church in your community, mm-hmm. who's never reached out to you, that never helped to meet a need, never got involved in the community, never made that effort. But think about it. If Islam can do that, if gangs can do that, if the Nation of Islam can do that, think about what you can do as the church. If you begin to direct your attention to the poorest, the people who need help, who are hungry for purpose, they don't understand what's going on, and begin to share with them the love of God, the kingdom of God. What happened to Kamal Saleem? They didn't go yell at him or criticize him. They revealed the love of God to him, and it confused him because he was told all these lies about Christians. And when he met them, he met a true Christian that was loving on him, mending him, helping him meet his needs, he was so confused because love confronted all the lies.
Mm-hmm.
Love confronted all the lies. That's what we have to do, is begin to confront all the lies with love. I mean, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. so understood this when he said, listen, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And if you look at his life, this is an amazing man. He's a Christian, and he also was an American. He stayed under God's law, and he stayed under the constitutional law. So that's why we can look at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and say, you know what? They were choking him out. They were attacking him. They were the FBI was... But the CIA was all over his stuff. But he knew the only way he could win is through love. If you have not yet joined VFN Kingdom Business, now is your time. There's a way to be a civil Christian in a civil land. It's time for us to be activated and go out and begin to really make disciples of nations. I mean, you can see the address, VFNKB, on the screen. But listen, it's time for us to go as Islam went. You know, as the Nation of Islam went with Farrakhan, as gangs are going, it's time for us to also go and say, let me tell you about the true God. And Kamal Saleem was so confronted that he went back. He says, I'm confused. I'm a simple man. I don't understand. And he prayed to, you know, Allah, and he said, no answers were given. But then he prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and God answered. And you know what he said? He said, I loved you all along. He loved him when he was in the parental situation that was abusive. He loved him when he was being taken in by that Sharia compliant jihadist Islamic organization. He loved him. He loved him when he got on the transportation to come to America to be able to do harm to Americans thinking he was actually serving God. Jesus said, this people are going to kill you thinking that they're doing God a favor. I mean, he said, this day's coming. But when he encountered the love of God, it was the dysfunctional home didn't change him. The gangs in the community didn't change him. Poverty didn't change him. The radical jihadist Islamic Sharia complied organization didn't change him. The travel to America didn't change him. Going to the poorest areas in America to convert didn't change him. But you know what changed him? Was the love of God. It was loving on him. Think about it. Just loving on him. Love is patient. Love is kind. Long-suffering. Gentle. Keeps no records of wrongs. I mean, Paul was a radical, I mean, his name was Saul first, but he was radical persecutor of the church. He was giving permission to stone Stephen. He stood there holding their coats while they took rocks and they stoned him. He was going to persecute the church in Damascus when he met, just like Kamal Saleem, he met Yeshua, the Messiah. He met Jesus Christ, the same thing. All he needed to know was who really is God. Who is God? And maybe that's you. Could you love a Kamal Saleem? Let me tell you something. He's the most beautiful person you ever want to meet. I'm talking about physically. I mean, I guess he's not a bad-looking guy or whatever, but I'm talking about if you talk to him, the love of God just pours off of him. I mean, Pat can tell you. Pat and I had a chance to be with him in, I guess, maybe South Carolina, North Carolina. And he just glows with the presence and the love of God. And just as a bold warrior he was for radical Islam and being a jihadist, guess what? He's bold for the love of God and letting people know. And he understands this cultural war is a seven mountain war, trying to change the seven spheres of culture. And we talk about that and we're focusing on that in the seven mountain strategy with VFN Kingdom Business. You got to go to vfnkb.org and sign that pledge of saying, you know, I want to walk with those who walk in agreement. I'm telling you, we can make a difference. We actually serve the true God, whose kingdom is greater than the kingdom of this world, who's given us all authority. When we go in his name, he goes with us. Oh my goodness. We have so much more. We come back from this break, but this is exciting. Remember Kamal, remember praying for these young men and women who feel like they're giving their lives over to something they believe in. But when they meet God himself, when they meet love, God is love, when they meet him, they'll turn their life over into a heartbeat. Join us after the break.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
These times are harvest times. Think about this. How would your church handle 1,000 new members every week? And we all think that would be incredible. It will kill you. We've got to start thinking like that. I tell you, we need to raise up hundreds of thousands of teachers. The evangelism's going to happen. Evangelists are getting anointed. This is going to happen. We need teachers ready to take new believers and get them established soundly on sound doctrine and made disciples, not just converts. One of the greatest reasons for the greatest weakness, I think, today is we've been making converts instead of disciples. No, the Great Commission's to make disciples, and we've got to be that first if we're going to make others. We need hundreds of thousands of people equipped right now to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to preach the gospel, to lay a solid foundation in new believers' lives. What I'm saying is we've got to fulfill the Ephesians 4 mandate to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. It is not going to work on the model of ministry that is now demonstrated in much of the church. Where you, it's like a spectator sport. You pay your entry fee and come watch a few people do it every week. No, we've all got to be engaged. I believe there's a home group movement, and we've had many and great ones. I believe you're going to have home groups in every single neighborhood that are solid, where God is moving, where He is doing awesome things every week, every day, and where people are bonded together.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partner for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching. Welcome back. What a awesome five-part series. Mm. If you missed the first four parts of this, understanding
get it.
John Guandola, right?
Mm-hmm.
What he talked about, former FBI agent, and he just let us know that, hey, this thing's on the increase. God confirmed it with a night vision, given that to Pat Hamilton, which he shared it on this program. Mm-hmm. It was so good to have Pat on the program, you know? And he's just so wise and to be able to hear the mm-hmm. things he has to share and just so deep.
Yes. Always plenty to say.
It's a great encouragement. And so we're finding out, as a witness of a former jihadist, mm-hmm. how we need to approach this thing.
Who better to tell us how to respond and what to do?
If you haven't went to Coombs Ministries, you can see it on your screen. You need to go to Coombs Ministries and just give a shout out to Kamal Saleem. He's a beautiful person, him and his wife. And he would even come to your church and begin to share. Yeah. As a matter of fact, are you brave enough to bring a former radical jihadist who loves Jesus to your church to be able to say, you know what? This is what we need to do, is you need to yeah. love them and inform them. And, you know, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You can imagine what somebody who doesn't yet know God, how they're being taken advantage of and being fed, you know, false information. I want to encourage you right now. Maybe you are a radical jihadist. Maybe you are somebody that's committed to jihad, not radical, but you're committed to jihad. Maybe you're a Muslim. Maybe you have a friend at your workplace that's a Muslim. Maybe you just pass somebody in with a hijab that's in the grocery store. And what came out of you was judgment, criticism, and avoidance instead of, I need to reach out and touch the person, because behind that hijab, behind that outfit,
is Kamal Saleem. Mm-hmm. A human being that God loves and God has a plan for their life. I mean, think about it. How different is it going to be when you approach your life from this perspective? While Stephen was being stoned, he saw the face of God and he was smiling, and it convicted even Saul as Saul was standing there. I want to pray for you right now. Maybe that's you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can make Jesus Christ. Listen, he'll ask him to show himself to you. He will show himself to you. This is a true God. He's powerful. That's what happened with Kamal Saleem, and God will do that for you. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I thank you for each and every one that are watching and listening right now. I want to say to you right this moment that God loves you, and he is known you since your mother's womb, and all these things that have happened in your life, he will actually forgive you. He will bring you into the family, and he'll bring you into a true family that will protect you and forgive you and to restore you. And you too will walk in the loving family that Kamal Saleem is walking in today by making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. I pray, I want even now, call out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, knowing that he answers, and he answers with love and forgiveness right now. And if you want to find out about our testimonies, you can go to meetmyfather.org. We shared our testimonies, how we met God through his son, Jesus Christ. God bless you. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, give us the love you have for your son, Jesus Christ, that we would love you back and we would love everyone. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.